Blog Talk Radio.
How we doing, guys? Welcome to Snake Oil Radio, guys and girls, in case anyone thinks I'm being sexist. welcome to Snake Oil Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Jim Ventura. Thank you for joining me today. If you're catching the show live or you're catching the show in archive, you're welcome, by the way. Anyway, beautiful day here in Phoenix. We're like 76 degrees. It's fantastic, sunny and warm. Of course, I'm still freezing because I've lived here for, it's like 64, 65 degrees in my house. I'm freezing. This is what happens when you live in the desert for like 20-something years. You turn into a big wuss when it comes to any type of cold, you know. Anyway, that's another story. All right, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Jim Ventura. I'm a professional navigational consultant, astrologer. I work with tarot, numerology, astrology, a number of different types of oracles. I've got a column we do once a month approximately called Snake Oil. I'm a writer, a couple of published books, and do private consultations with sessions for people here in my office, private consultation sessions in my home office here in Phoenix, and also by phone. Info about any of that stuff, go to my website, jimventura.com. Couldn't be easier. And add yourself to the newsletter mailing list each month. It's free, and no one will ever get your email address from me. I blind copy them out, pretty protective of everyone's email addresses. At venturasage@yahoo.com, venturasage@yahoo.com. Okay, blah, 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 enough of the sales stuff. Done that before. Anyway, got lots to talk about today. Kind of great show. We're doing the Oracle show today. I've got some different themes each Thursday when I do a show. Kind of a new theme I want to try on and play around with for a little bit. We'll talk a bit about oracles. You know, a lot of my listeners are already metaphysical people, either just, you know, in terms of philosophy and perspective. And many people are even professional in one degree or another, or they're just helping friends and family by giving them insight and studying in their own way, all tremendously valuable. So I thought I'd talk a bit about some of the different types of oracles, how we learn to use them, the value of them, and some little tricks and tips along the way that you guys can to learn these things a little faster and master doing whatever you just choose to master in this area. So we'll talk a bit about that a little bit later on today, a little bit later on in the show. But what I first want to talk about, two things that are on my mind. First, something completely dumb and not related to anything spiritual. This is Sagittarius. I have to throw some humor in here. But before I got on the radio show today, I was on Yahoo, and I saw a post saying, do you want to see what Tina Yathers looks like now? And I was hysterical for like 5 minutes. Tina Yathers is an 80s comedy show icon of sorts. She was on the show Family Ties with Alex and Mallory. She played the little sister, the kind of the weird-looking little sister. So it's so funny because it's so stupid that someone posted something that dumb. But of course I had to look. You know, of course I was totally curious. And then she put on a few more pounds. She's a little awkward, but she doesn't look half bad. Give her credit. But anyway, it just was so funny. You could just see how dumb it is. Like, part of me is like, what am I even wasting my time looking at this for? But it was entertaining. So I didn't read the article about it. I just didn't go that far. Anyway, so a little side note of humor and attempt at it, and onward to want to talk a little bit about this Mercury retrograde in Pisces thing going on. Of course, you know, every time I have a retrograde in a different sign, I gain some more insight. Anybody who's into astrology knows that it's just like anything else. You're constantly studying, you're constantly learning, you're constantly fine-tuning, you know, and when you love it, it's awesome when you piece things together. So I definitely had some insight. I think I'm going to post this on Facebook in the next couple of days when I sit down and write it, but I'll pop this out to my listeners first. Thinking a lot about Mercury retrograde and Pisces, you know, for the most part, most of you guys know what a Mercury retrograde is, the planet that rules communication and thought, mental process, analysis, where we kind of want to, you know, what we're fascinated with thinking about, in essence, is retrograde, so, you know, backwards, not really backwards, but it's a whole other saga. From Earth's perspective, it's backwards. And retrograde for about 3 weeks. It's been that way for about a week now. This happens about, I think 3 times a year for about 3 weeks each time. But the sign that it's in really gives us some insight into where, what the general feel is for almost everybody. And then if you know your astrology chart, the house that this is operating in, of course, is going to be really pivotal for you right now, too. Especially, you'll see this sometimes where it'll go, sometimes the Mercury will go backwards into another sign, or sometimes even in your chart, if you look at transit progressions, it'll go backwards into another house, which can be really interesting as well to see that kind of dynamic that operates there. So, because for all my listeners, you're going to have Mercury in one of 12 houses, so it's not going to be the same for everybody. That's why it's good to know what your birth time is. You get a natal chart, you can figure out house placements that are accurate. There are going to be some centralized themes to the Mercury retrograde in Pisces, so I want to talk a little bit about that. What I've seen, and I definitely bring it to my awareness, is it's kind of bringing to surface this idea of Pisces energy and looking at where you're willing to sacrifice toward achieving a goal. The image, Piscean image in the tarot, is the hangman hanging from the tree, changing priorities and values, what you're willing to sacrifice. Like the farmer analogy, you're willing to plant crops, to pay attention to those, to achieve a goal. That's kind of the positive energy of the hangman or the Piscean energy that way, that willingness to sacrifice in a positive way, where it can bring you again to a goal or help and inspire others. The negative side of it, and here's where the retrograde is going to bring that dance up, is also looking at the areas in your life where you're sometimes victimized or martyred or put in circumstances that aren't really, in your own best interest. I mean, where you're being selfless in a negative way, where it may not be fulfilling for you, it may be, draining, and you may be unhappy. So I think that's kind of what the dance is. I know I've talked to a couple of people, and they've given me their experiences around this retrograde. I'd say overall it's been relatively easy. I've only had like a couple of the usual dumb things, like the not writing stuff down in my appointment book, like just being a dope, the little mental detail dumb stuff and just weird stuff popping up, but nothing really bad. But, I did a party. Sometimes people will hire me and I'll do little mini readings at parties for people, locally. I did a party, and I worked with a bunch of many of the people at the party were Russian. And I've actually really never encountered a lot of Russians in my life. A lot of other nationalities, because I grew up in New York, Polish, Spanish. And I mean, I've encountered a lot of nationalities. And it's typical of Sagittarius, too. Like, it's all fascinating to me. I love diversity and difference. Like, that is interesting to me. I don't understand why people buck up against that. It's all fascinating, the different cultural influences. But I worked with a bunch of Russians, and they were interesting people. I'd never really encountered that way. But one of the women, I did a little mini reading for her, and I was reading her cards. We did the tarot. We did some numerology. We did the tarot, and she was kind of rushing me along. And then, I told her some things I saw in the cards, and then I asked her a few questions about whether she was still married and things like that, and she got furious with me. And she kind of went on about how, why was I asking her questions? She's paying me. I'm supposed to be telling her things. Why would I be, and she had a little 5-minute meltdown of telling me how frustrated she was. And, of course, I let her do it. It's 30 minutes she got. You want to take 5 minutes of it to go on a rant? Okay, you'll get through it. And I'm not going to be bothered. And I realized she had a lot of anger toward men. She had been in a very negative marriage. She was still manipulating, controlling. She was working her way out of that. It's a whole other issue, But what I think was really interesting about it is, from my perspective, what I was also catching is her telling me how I'm supposed to read, how I'm supposed to be. I have a very unique style. Much of the work I do with doing readings for people is really, really more of a form of counseling. I step into the shoes and we look at the issues and themes that are going around them. We look at ways to heal, to maneuver, to become more free-flowing, more happy, to weed out the things that are no longer working, to feed and fan the things that we're strong and gifted in. I have a completely different style in the way I do it. So here's this woman kind of giving me this guff about I'm not doing it correctly, according to her. And I had that about a year ago with another client. He used to come to me regularly. And he didn't want me to read cards. He wanted me to tell him what was going to happen. He wanted me to tell him, a lot of dumb relationship questions, in that sense. Not that relationship questions are dumb, but his were, you know, there was always, he was always after, as a gay man, he was always after men that really were not interested, you know what I mean? He was after the unavailable. He wasn't going to come to terms with that. Okay. So anyway, another one who did that with me, very angry with me, because the way I kind of want to heal something, I want to talk about this area, and he didn't want to have that during the sessions. So actually, I ditched him. I won't work with him. He wants to see me. I don't do this very often, but I had to say, no, you got to go to someone else. Yeah, I'm not going to do what, you know, what you want me to do. But I realized that, you know, in this whole process, of course, yeah, there's some of that in me still, in that sense, where, you know, you'll sometimes do some type of sacrifice or something, you know, in order to give people what they want, but that is really not in alignment with who you are. And that's where victimization and martyrdom can come into play. So just for all you guys, if you listen to this, this is, you know, we got another probably 2 weeks on this. I'm not sure the exact date. I have to check that out of when the Mercury retrograde ends. But, yeah, you're going to be looking at these themes and these issues in relation to your own experiences in your own life right now. And don't stress about it. If it's something that's giving you anguish or stressing you, realize, you know, you're just being given an opportunity to look at what you may need to shift or change in yourself, whether that's actual actions or just a perspective around how you look at it or various other things. You know, don't see the negative as a negative. See it as an opportunity to fix or to resolve something, to really get insight into your own path, and whether you're on it and whether that's honorable the way that you are on it. We absolutely have to sacrifice at times. You know, anyone who's in a relationship or has children or is working toward any goals understands the value of sacrifice, but sacrifice and suffering do not have to be contained. That's what we really, really, you know, I think have to look at during this Mercury retrograde in Pisces. So I want to talk a little bit about that, little insight upgrade. Again, I'll end up posting this in my column or on Facebook as well. You can fan request me on Facebook or just friend request me even and be added to the Facebook list as well. So I do a lot of extra posts on Facebook, guys. My column is monthly, goes to much more of a larger process. I really only do it once a month. But Facebook I can do a little more often. Every couple of days, every week, I post some interesting stuff there, not to mention, reading specials sometimes if I have a slow week or something. You know what I mean? A lot of times, I'll pick up a couple extra clients, give a discount on sessions or something like that too. Okay, so now I really want to start talking about oracles. I'm going to open up the phone lines today, probably just about the last 15 minutes of the show. I'll take a couple of calls, so if you want to call in and wait in the docket, I'll get to you guys maybe to two or three calls toward the end. What I want to do is I want you to ask, because this is going to be specific, if you do call in, I'm going to ask you to choose an oracle, and I'm going to pick a card or a symbol from that particular oracle. And then we're going to talk about that for a couple of minutes. I'm not going to do too much work today. I'm going to see if you guys can get some insight into your own issues, your own themes in relation to the oracle that comes up. Okay, so we'll get to that in a little bit and start taking callers in, like I said, probably about 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, oracles. So, you know, this is an interesting thing to consider. Again, some of my listeners here, some of you guys, may never be drawn to reading oracles, and you know, oracles, tarot cards, runestones, angel cards, animal cards, you know, even astrology, numerology to a large extent, all of these things are, you know, oracular devices at some level. Some of you won't, many of you will, and one of the things I always recommend for people, if you're really looking into learning how to read an oracle, you know, for insight and guidance for yourself or friends or family eventually if you want to, one great place to start is angel cards. Inexpensive, powerful, very positive, a very easy place to begin. It'll tune you into the angelic realm, and they're really easy to learn how to work with angel cards. Things like tarot cards, astrology, numerology, some extent runes. You know, other oracles are going to take a little bit more energy to master and study, especially astrology and tarot. That's like algebra, geometry, trig, you know what I mean? In terms of a reference. So a lot of, that's what a lot of people do when they want to learn to read an oracle. They dive into the most difficult stuff first, you know, and then their just heads are spinning at some level because they're overwhelmed. And that's that old adage about how 90% of the population, right when on the verge of being successful and doing something or achieving something, that's when they back away or quit. And that's why we have such mediocrity a lot of times. People get close to those edges and they quit. And then there's a difference. Sometimes you'll do something that just ain't right for you. You know what I mean? Don't think that everything that you gave up on was a failure. You know, sometimes there's also wisdom in waking up and smelling the coffee and saying, hey, I started learning this. Not that interesting. Not really doing it for me. You know, that's legit. So that's discernment, being able to tell the difference between those two things. But one of the things I suggest if you're on the path to, you know, perfecting your ability to read oracles or even considering it, is it's okay to pick up an oracle because you like the colors, you like the artwork, the style, the design, in fact, of the person who designed them. That's not crazy, guys. You know, there is that fascination, that, and sometimes that is a trigger in. That was the lure to get you to get it in a positive way, you know, because it'll be something that you love and you value. And one of my favorite oracles that I've had for many years, in fact, they're really kind of beaten down. I wonder if I can get them replaced. I think they're out of print, but I have the Druid Animal Totem Oracle cards. Artwork, fantastic. You know, I mean, I was an artist in college, an art major, so I still have my love of art, even though I don't do anything with it now, for the most part. Love the artwork, just absolutely stunning, brilliant, really, really, you know, it's like the, even in the Tarot, some Tarot decks, you'll see that too, just have such a stunning, really the artist who designed them was really amazing. Even like the original Rider-Waite Tarot, it's fascinating because the artwork isn't like unbelievable, it's good, but you know, it's not unbelievable, but the way the images explain a lot of the meaning of the card is really powerful, really sharp. So that's a little trick and clue I'll give to everybody here, too. If you're ever you're looking at Tarot, you're ready to dive into that, again, you can go for a Tarot deck that's beautiful, that you like the artwork, and I definitely say go for it. That's where you're drawn. But there can also be some real benefit to just starting with the basic Rider-Waite deck, one of the originals. It will help in your studies. In fact, what I'd actually recommend is maybe even get two decks. Get the Rider-Waite to use, you know, for practice, and then have have this special, colorful, different type of image deck that you use for personal use or special occasions, or you know, for something like that. That's cool to do that, but you do really can be really beneficial to learn from the Rider-Waite deck if you're again if you're looking into things like Tarot. Okay, a couple of little things I want to kind of talk about with the different oracles, and I think I'll go to the phone lines in just a little bit here. One, I want to welcome everyone to the show. I see some more people jumping into the chat. And again, I know I'll probably have a lot of archive listens later on. So again, thank you for joining me today and talking a little bit about oracles. You know, maybe I should also give you guys a little bit of insight into really, I always think that, into what an oracle is, you know, because we see it as a tool of divination. You know, I say it's almost like a, see if I can explain this the right way. An oracle is really just a tangible object of reverence that you use as a way of accessing your own knowingness, your own wisdom, your own higher self, your own, you know, that knowledge that connects you to everything, to the Akashic records. An oracle is able to do that. On top of it, that's an amazing thing in its own right. So people that don't understand this, it's not like, you know, what do you mean? You threw some dice on the table and now you're going to take the advice of the dice? No. You know, the dice reinforce the colors and the color cubes of the dice, the imagery in the cards and the meaning triggered something that was going on in my own life at this time, and you know what I mean. So there's a much deeper meaning behind that. It's not, you know, following some blind thing that you were told you're supposed to do because a card said so. It's more than that. But so it's partly that. That's a big part of why we'll use oracles. Also, of course, with things like numerology and astrology, they're devices and tools for understanding the self, the more aware of who you are and what you do and why you do it that way, will make you more able to make more informed, empowered decisions. So another benefit of an oracle. The other thing is when you learn about another culture's philosophy and perspective, that expands your psyche also. For instance, let me give you this. This is going to sound like the most obvious thing, but think about this. Generally, when you talk to people who speak multiple languages, like they actually could speak four or five languages or two, or typically the more languages someone is able to speak, you'll often, well, not the more of them, you know what I mean, if they have a couple of them or, you know, more than one or five or six, when you can speak different languages, it expands the way you think, the way you read things. You don't find a lot of really hardcore racist people or homophobic people or people that are emotional, psychological disasters. That's the truth behind it. You don't find a lot of that with people who speak multiple languages. More often than not, that helps them evolve that way as well, too, spiritually, in terms of society and not where to not put, you know, anger and you know, I mean, idiotic. Racism is just silly to me at every level. Every sexism, all of it. It's also stupid. It's so lowbrow in its scope. But people who typically do speak multiple languages often are less likely to be that way. So now you don't have to speak multiple languages in order to be an advanced thinking soul. I only speak English. I mean, I know a little bit of words from other languages, but I'm basically useless in that area. It just never interested me. But I speak a lot of other languages. I speak the language of the runes. I speak the language of tarot. I speak the language of astrology, of numerology, of animal totems. So I do speak a lot of different types of languages in another type of a way. So that's the key, guys. You get more of these things, more of this insight, you look into these different things, and it is, it's going to expand the way that you see life and the way that you think. Being aware, one of my favorite studies and oracles I've worked with is Lakota Indian cards. I bought those 10, 11 years ago. I did some study of the Lakota Indian culture and its philosophy, and I got to say, for the most part, unbelievably awesome. You know, just a really powerful perspective on the purpose of everything and the unity behind things and, you know, really amazing. I do readings with these Lakota Indian cards. In fact, I had a client today that I worked with, and one of the cards that had come up in his spread was Yum. And I'll probably talk about this more in another show because it's going to be an upcoming column I'm writing anyway about romance and risk-taking. But Yum is the goddess of love, of games, of sport in the Lakota tradition, the whirlwind. And she's the pure energy of love and playfulness and games. And the idea behind Yum is like the whirlwind. If it catches you and it takes you on its journey, there's nothing you can do about it, but you want to go for the ride. You know that, like when you fall in love or you fall in love with an idea or you buy a home and you're so excited about that home or, you know, any of those things that bring that energy of just absolute excitement and enthusiasm but nervousness at the same time and all that good stuff. And we had done that. And that had come up with one of his cards and we had talked about that. And he took a job and it didn't really work out. He did it for a couple of weeks. It was a terrible job. He gave it a shot. It wasn't for him. He's been looking to find work for a while, too, so it was a little tough to give up on it, but it was not right for him. He knew it. And that's one of the things that came up in his cards, that he had to find something that had that Yum energy to it. We can say Yum, by the way, if you want to mispronounce it, but it's humorous in its own right, Y-U-M. If you want that, that's, you know, you can't demand it. It's more that you're open to it, that you let yourself experience that adrenaline of fun and joy and risk and play. And I bring that up because every single oracle I have learned how to use, that's how I approached it. I was just fascinated with learning this, and it just was so exciting. And I had a couple on the way that I bought that I never really studied as much. I started it, and I was like, not really as drawn to it. But the most of them I did learn because I had that excitement. I had that enthusiasm. In fact, you know, it's funny because even to this day, I'm doing someone's astrology chart or numerology chart or laying out tarot cards. Like, you know, I still like it a lot. Like, I'm fascinated by the symbols, by the pattern in it, by decoding the pattern to the best of my ability with my clients. I still love it, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. But that's a great approach to take. So if you're looking at buying an Oracle or getting involved in anything around that subject, again, looking at what you love, you might go through some trial and error. You might learn a few things. But look for that Yume. Look for that wow factor. I might be scared of whether I can learn it, but I'm really excited at the same time. This is a really, really key ingredient, guys, to being happy. Sorry, I'm drinking coffee here. The ability to risk at some level. That's the archetypal energy, by the way, in the Tarot of the Fool card upright. People say, oh, the Fool card, I must be doing something dumb. Nope. A lot of times you're just tapping into that risk, that enthusiasm, the beginnings, the cooking of the next thing, the flirtation, the romance, the play, the excitement, the possibility, all of those things. So that's a good approach to take. Again, as you're going into looking at oracles, or if you're contemplating expanding the oracles that you read, or and adding a few more to the mix, I have one friend that she has. I think she told me the other day that she had 114 different oracles. She like collects them every time, the Bones Oracle, the Rainbow Oracle, the Cosmic, the Baseball Player's Tarot cards. she finds these things, and she's got a big box of all of this stuff. It's hysterical, but she never really learns how to use them. You know, if I come over, she'll pull them out and say, oh, you want to play with some of these different things? And it's fun to do that once in a while. But she, she's more, she's just more collecting because she enjoys it. And that's cool, too. You know what I mean? You're not required to master something. Okay. Anyway, let's see. I think I'm going to start taking some callers here. I got two people waiting. So I think let me put the call number out for you guys first. Call number here is 646-200-3966. I should be able to take two or three calls today. If you kind of got a question, I can pull an oracle for you, and we'll see what comes up. Like I said, I'm going to make you do a little work. I'm not going to do as much work. I'm going to tell you what it means, and then we'll talk about that for a minute or two. If I have some extra time, I'll just pull a general oracle for everybody listening, which is always kind of fun to do. We'll see how we do with time. Okay, let me take my first caller here. All righty. 954, welcome to Snake Oil Radio.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. My name is Lucy. I have a specific question. And if you can pull out a ruin for me, that would be wonderful.
You got it, Lucy. All right.
I would like to know, am I staying in the state of where I am, I mean the physical state, or moving to another state for more prosperity?
Okay. Now, let me say, I'm reaching into the room bag here, and well, that's interesting. Okay. This is an annoying little thing that I do, by the way. Like, I'll see a card or something, I'll be like, oh, that's interesting, because something clicks in my mind. And I have to remember,
right,
I have to explain it to the person,
okay,
who I'm talking to. Same thing, like, if I lay out an entire tarot spread, it's like, for me, it's like, it's this huge glimpse into someone's life at multiple areas, you know, what's going
on.
Sure, like
it
comes,
yeah,
like a
I
huge
know.
Wave to me, and then I have to kind of break it down for the person so
that's
that
okay.
They understand it, but it's interesting to do that. And by the way, so thank you for the question, and you did exactly, by the way, what I wanted. I was gonna make the person choose their oracle, and you didn't even ask me to tell you to do that. You just chose. So good for you.
Listening.
That's decisiveness.
I was listening.
Yes, exactly. Bingo. Very, very good. Okay, so let me tell you what the rune says, and then we'll talk
okay.
about this a little bit. I want to actually, we got time, I want to actually read the whole quote. Lucy, you're
okay,
familiar with the runes?
Okay, just interpret it to me, that's all.
What's that?
Just interpret it, because I don't know the runes very well.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. But this is what,
great.
When I read this to you, you're going to get a lot of insight, too.
Okay, great.
This is from the Ralph Blum book of Interpretation of Runes. So the rune that I pulled on this question is Wunjo. It means joy and light, and it comes up upright.
Oh, nice.
This is great. I love to get to people, read this to people, because this is like goosebump shit. You know, like,
oh,
it's just, I can't believe the dude wrote this. Every time, I've been reading this book for 20 years, and every time I'm like, I still can't believe he wrote this stuff. It's so brilliant. So this is what I'm going to tell you my interpretations too, because I have a big mouth. Okay.
Okay. No, I love it. Go ahead.
He said, he says, Doyen Light, this rune is a fruit-bearing branch. The term of travail is ended, and you've come to yourself in some regard. The shift that was due has occurred. Now you can freely receive Wunjo's blessings, whether they be in material gain, in your emotional life, or in a heightened sense of your own well-being. This is an alchemical moment in which understanding is transmuted from knowledge. The knowledge itself was a necessary but not sufficient condition. Now you can rejoice, having been carried across the gap by the will of heaven. Joyousness accompanies new energy, energy that had been blocked before now. Light pierces the clouds and touches the waters, just as something lovely emerges from the depths. The soul is illuminated from within, at the meeting place of heaven and earth, the meeting of the waters. There is a new clarity, which may call for you to renounce existing plans, ambitions, and goals. It is proper and timely for you to do so, for Wunjo is a rune of restoration of the self, properly aligned with the self. Okay. Now,
very nice.
Yeah, very nice. You know,
I think I'm on the right path.
Yeah, you are. And I hear that really clearly. I'm going to give you some insight into this. I think you already know.
Good.
Anyway, but it's just that you need that further clarity.
Yes.
Where you are, how long have you been where you are now?
Two years or 2.5 years, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you are now was the right spot for you to be. But what I'm hearing is I think it's becoming more and more apparent that it no longer really necessarily is.
Exactly.
That, yeah, you could make this change. You know, it's like, you know, I had a, like, this is a great little side-in story that I'll tap into here. I talked to a client yesterday, and she's been in a 4.5-year marriage. She married her high school, not her high school, her college sweetheart, moved to Alaska with him. Year or so of it good. After a year, year and a half of it, not so good. He's a little nutty. Half their friends moved away. He wants to stay in the house. She wants to be out doing things. It's just that she's in her early 50s. She's not fulfilled. He's got a lot of emotional, psychological problems. He drinks too much. You know, all kinds of issues come to the surface. So after 4.5 years, she's seriously contemplating whether, you know, she come back to Phoenix and leave this marriage. And she's scared, and there's a loyalty issue. But the wake-up that she had in her life was that she, you know, she would never be happy in this marriage. He wants different things. She wants different things. She came to a recognition that she doesn't really want to be married. She likes it when she just has male friends, different ones that she hangs out with. But she isn't into the marriage thing. It's just never been her thing. She tried. And, you know, I always say a couple of months ago on Facebook, I posted a thing about what I call the 11 human rights. And one of the 11 human rights, this is by Dick Suffin, is you have the right to change your mind. What worked at one point may not work now because you've changed your mind. Now, the funny thing is sometimes we'll do that and people come along and they try to tell us that because you're changing your mind now, your first decision must have been wrong. No. It was right for while it was right.
Right.
Now, yeah, now it's no longer right. Now I want something different. I've changed. Being here changed me. You know, so it's funny.
The shift in the consciousness. I like that part when you were reading the poem or whatever I call it, the poem. I love that because it was a shift in consciousness.
Absolutely. And what he talks about when he says light pierces the clouds and touches the waters just as something lovely emerges from the depths, something's coming up in your life in surface that's going to make you very happy.
Oh, yay.
And it's happiness. It's joy. You're going to remember what it feels like to be happy. And I think for a while you haven't been totally happy.
Right.
You know? And you're just not really happy
I'm
where you are.
I'm usually a happy person. I'm usually a happy person to the people around. Yeah.
Absolutely. So now, right, that's what's changing internally is that's the renouncing of existing plans. I love this room because it gives you permission. But the thing he says is that the knowledge itself was necessary but not a sufficient condition, meaning you had to go through this experience of living where you were, having this experience. You did nothing wrong. This is part of your learning. But now this schooling is finished, and it's time to move on to the next thing. All you have to do at this point now is you don't have to worry that much about the detail. You just have to be okay with it and decide that it's time. Then the details
will
line
up. Okay, but I want to know, what do you think? Is it going out of the state?
Well, what state are you in
move.
Now? What's that?
Oh, God. I don't have to do it. Everybody's going to hear.
Oh, just the state, though.
Oh, Florida.
Oh, okay, yeah. That leaves a huge amount of leeway, right? We're not gonna get that specific beyond Florida. I just was curious where people are calling from sometimes, just because that's interesting in its own right. Yeah, you know, do you love it? The state itself, or
I love the water.
Right.
I love the water. I love it. It's been good to me. I don't know if it's like been great for my work. And if I say the state that I'm thinking about, everybody's going to go crazy. Say, are you crazy? That state is in so much economical problems, high taxes.
Right.
You know what state I'm talking about?
Yeah,
of course.
Right. Well, I totally did. Because that's what I got. When you brought up the subject, what your guide started to talk about the water, what your guide showed me is that you're just going to another place that's still got water. You're not going away from the water. You're just going to a different water. But I have
to tell you,
I'm kind of hearing. What you're contemplating actually is, I know it's scary because it's risky, and other people might tell you that you're nuts. But
they have.
Go into the core of your being and know that this rune is about taking that action for you to be successful. While the taxes are high and it's expensive and it's really difficult, also the energy of prosperity consciousness is there. So you're moving yourself to a place in that sense where you can make more money, where you can be more successful, where you can be more well-received as well. So you're not totally out of your mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I moved from New York to Phoenix 22 years ago, and I remember people telling me I was nuts. I mean, I was 25, you know, hop in the car, I was just going to make that move. I flew out, I got an apartment, and I had no job lined up. And all of $500 is what I had on that move. You believe this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And I did it.
I do believe it.
And it was a disaster when I first moved here. Like, it was so much hardship. In my first book, Dirty Little Secrets, I talk about some of the crap I went through. It was unbelievable. But I knew that I just needed to go through that, and then I became successful, and I never regretted it. It was just the right thing, even though people told me I was crazy. You know, I knew
Can
it was where I needed to go.
Can you do another ruin for me to see if it comes out that I will go there, or is there, or do you sense it like a different state?
No,
like
that's
personally?
Kind of what I'm sensing.
Yeah?
I feel like, you know, what I'm hearing is they're saying to me,
Tell me.
Be like, all you have to do is look at the multiple options and the way to make the move and the transition. I think you're moving. So the way to make the move and the transition is be at peace with it in that sense, but be pragmatic about it. So don't, you know, move to look at the places that where you could be successful. But, you know what I mean? Like, I'm hearing if you're really frugal about the move initially, like getting a small place, or, you know what I mean, being willing to accommodate and cut in a way so it's not so overwhelming, that you'll be able to become successful and then upgrade. So that's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll be able to make the maneuver. Don't overwhelm yourself. It's like years ago I had a friend of mine, couple, when I was in my 20s, they got married and they got an apartment and they spent about $8,000 on furniture and wallpaper and rugs for the apartment.
Right.
I remember thinking to myself, this is like for an apartment. They ended up staying there for like a year and a half. Way too much money going into something that, you know what I mean, might be transient, you know?
Right, right.
And that's when I first moved out here, that's kind of what I went through, too. When I moved out originally, I mean, I remember looking at a map of Phoenix saying, I'll go to one of the outskirts cities. I'll go to Mesa. No particular reason, by the way. It was close to Phoenix. It was in the vicinity. I landed in Mesa, and I remember when I moved here, my roommate, the guy I moved here with, was like, hey, dude, you moved us right into the heart of Mormon Central, like, which turns out to be fine. But, I mean, I had no idea what that was all about. And also, I moved into an area that was kind of like kind of a bad area of town. My car was
falling. I know, I've been there.
And
I don't care for it.
Yes, and looking back on it, that was so funny. It was like I was such a dummy, but it was great because I did. I moved around, and then I found the perfect location over time. I mean, it was just part of that experience. But, yeah, I that's what I'm hearing. I pulled an angel card for you. Let me tell you what the angel card says, because I asked, if you're meant to move and make the change, the card will come up upright, and if you're not meant to at this time, it'll come up reversed.
Okay.
And the card came up upright.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's
God.
A same angel.
What is it?
Let me tell I'll read you that. The angel's name is Shanti. Okay, how are we doing on the time? My other caller dropped off, so we can go a few more minutes on this one. That's good.
Okay,
see, that
good.
Was synchronistic. Okay. Let me tell you what the angel card says. It'll give you the awareness. The name is Shanti. She says, I am the angel of peace. I bring you a new tranquility and a smoother road ahead. Additional messages. You've been through turmoil and your soul is tired. Your mind craves peace and quiet, and I'm here to help you with that. I will give you new opportunities to spend some time alone where you can relax your mind and your heart. I'll bring tranquility to your soul so that you can mirror the peace of mind that is your true divine nature. Like the angels, you're able to hover within the eye of any hurricanes that may swirl around you right now. Through breath and intention, you can stay centered no matter what's happening in your life. This inner foundation of peace has a powerful healing effect. Your outer life will soon reflect your inner peacefulness. Smooth roads are ahead for you, and the worst is behind you now. A peaceful outcome to your situation is assured.
Well, God, but you know what? That sounds good. Tell me, sorry, before I interrupt.
No.
You've got,
that's what I'm hearing. You had some drama and difficulties at times during moves and transition periods in your life,
okay.
As all of us have. But you're older and wiser now. When you make a transition, you'll do it smarter. You'll do it better. You'll know that you will. You know, I'm always an advocate for good humor and a good self-inflicted rip on self, but do that in humor. You know, really think about this one. I love to tell people this. Really think about this. Let me leave you this one final thought.
Well, because if I think about it in the frugal sense or in the pragmatic sense, then I'll realize, no, it doesn't make sense. But if I just go with my heart,
do it. But that's the key, is combine both. Don't just give, you know, the pragmatic sense can include the heart. The heart is saying, this is what we're doing, and then the practical self can now come in and decide how you're going to do it as practically as possible. But you're doing it.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Right.
Combine those two together.
Okay.
But,
so it's going to be better, more money, right?
Right. But that's
because
the whole
goal.
Because
this place
goal.
Has been good to me. I have no complaints. Like,
yeah. You know what? That's the whole ultimate thing about what Wunjo is asking. You can be prosperous. You can be successful. You can do well. But you have to follow your heart. And you have to do what feels right, even if it's a little scary in that sense. But the good news is, and both these cards are saying it, you're going to get helped. In other words, you know, this is the key thing. Remember, even more than we're doers, we're deciders. And once the decision is clear, the doing becomes effortless. For then the universe can support and empower actions and help begin to maneuver things. We have to decide first. And that's all you got to do. Okay?
I think I have. Oh, well, thank you so very much.
Lucy.
I appreciate
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. And
in.
I really enjoy listening to you, you know.
I'm glad
it's
you enjoyed it.
Your...
And absolutely call in again and give me an upgrade. Not an upgrade, an update, okay?
I will. Oh,
right.
I will. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Have a great
Bye.
Night. Luck with the transition.
Bye.
Actually, she had nothing to worry about. I mean, that's a really kick-ass rune. it's sometimes they're not so good. That's a good one. You know, she's on her way there. That's awesome. You know, a lot of us have some leftover stuck phobia from the past, especially in the last couple of years, guys. I've said this. Listen to any of my past archive shows. I've talked about this enough, about the economy and the difficulty many of us have gone through in a couple of years. Not even many of us. Most of us have gone through. So we're a little, you know, we've been through a war. You know, but the war is ending. And the war ends in when the war ends internally, it'll end externally. Even if others continue to want to be in the war, it ends internally. That's kind of the message of that angel card. Okay, only got one more minute here. So I had two callers, but the only one dropped off in patience. Who knows, maybe they had to go to work or something, I don't know. Or maybe I annoyed them, which is okay as well, too. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the show today. This is Tim Ventura signing off. Thank you, for Lucy, for your call and being willing to share that process. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other people that that will identify with that as well. Supernatural just jumped into the chat room. Guys, I call in the next show, and I'll definitely get you in first. Supernatural, pulling a card for you, because I just don't have time. We're going to literally ending in 30 seconds, so just won't be able to do it. So call in the next time I'm here. I'll be here at the beginning of the month. and we'll go from there, okay? Sorry. All right, thank you for tuning into Snake Oil Radio here on Blogosphere. This is Jim Ventura. Hey, listen, if you're not already getting my monthly newsletter, email me at VenturaSag, VenturaSag at yahoo.com. Get on the free mailing list. You'll love the column. Facebook request me also. And check out any archive shows on the archives anytime you want, guys. And we'll get to Supernatural next time. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Supernatural. Thank you for everyone else for checking in. We'll be here next week. Cheers, everyone. Have a great night.